Hey everyone, just getting you ready for the podcast today. A quick announcement. We recorded today's show just before the news of Terrell Pryor signing with the Washington Redskins. So you're going to hear a lot of Redskins talk. You're going to hear a lot of Browns talk. Please keep in mind, we were unaware that Terrell Pryor would be the newest Washington Redskin. With that in mind, please enjoy the show. Thanks a lot for listening.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go!
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Welcome back! Back-to-back days, Fantasy Football Today. We talked about Brandon Marshall, DeSean Jackson, and a lot more yesterday. Today, Alshon Jeffrey, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins, Brock Osweiler on the move. Dave, I love the tweet you had yesterday of the Browns talking about acquiring Brock Osweiler and barely mentioning Brock Osweiler.
Have you ever read a press release from an NFL team?
It's thrilling stuff, yeah.
Usually it's boring and you just instantly delete it. But when they have a quote in there, usually it's like when the Eagles signed Torrey Smith, there's always the quote from the GM. We valued Torrey Smith's skills, blah, 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 blah. So this one comes into the inbox. And the first thing that Sashi Brown, the EVP of the Browns, writes or says is, we're always excited to pick up picks, and this second-round pick in 2018 will help us become a better and more competitive team. And then he talks more about the pick in the same, and then at the end he's like, and Brock Osweiler's on the team too! It was just so funny to me how Brock Osweiler has become like an absolute whipping boy through this whole process.
The Browns are run by a baseball organization. And they made a basketball move.
Of like the salary dump thing?
Yep.
Well, Osweiler's
I have breaking news for you, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Hit me.
Jordan Cameron.
Oh, retiring.
Has announced his retirement.
Yeah.
It's the right thing for him to do. It's always tough for players to make that move. But it's right for him. He'll forever go down as a guy who never reached his fantasy potential except for like six games. Like there was a six-game span when he was in Cleveland where he was on fire.
Well, we'll do winners and losers, and yeah, that is tough to hear about that, but you know, you got to do what you got to do. And he talked about the concussions, and it's obvious why he's retiring. And it's just good to know that players are more aware of you know, the dangers now, and they are making those decisions. And sometimes, unfortunately, they retire a lot earlier than we want. So additionally on today's show, there's not much. We'll talk about the Bears wide receivers.
Not much.
Offensive lineman. Well, not much that happened since yesterday other than Alshon. Like, not a lot of huge stuff, right?
There's always stuff to talk about.
Stuff.
Some of the stuff I think we should go back and talk about.
That's fine. So let's do winners and losers. Dave, start with you. I asked you both for two winners and two losers. We'll also do buy or sell in your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Your first winner is Carson Wentz. What are you doing with him in the rankings, Carson Wentz?
I'm so tempted to move him up ahead of other quarterbacks in fantasy. I'm not quite there yet, but this receiving core that he's going to have is going to end up being halfway decent. You've got Alshon Jeffrey on the outside, who's in a contract year for the third year in a row. If he can stay healthy, that's 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns at minimum. Torrey Smith should play a lot on the other side. I know that we're going to poo-poo Torrey Smith, but in the 4 years where he was in Baltimore and he was getting work, he was halfway decent. I don't know if Torrey Smith's going to be great for fantasy, but I think he'll help Carson Wentz. You've got Zach Ertz and Jordan Matthews over the middle. Their run game, big question mark right now. Not sure what they're going to do there. We're talking about a quarterback who in 16 games only completed 62.4% of his passes. That could get higher. He averaged 6.2 yards per attempt. That's going to get higher. Touchdown interception ratio was nearly 50-50. I think he's going to have more touchdowns than picks this year. Carson Wentz could be one of those late round guys that you can grab. Wait a few weeks on, and he turns into Derek Carr or Marcus Mariota from 2016.
And the Eagles also bolstered their offensive line a little bit. Nothing huge, but Stephon Wisniewski, Chance Warmack. It's not even clear that Warmack's going to be a starter for them. But
no,
never,
he won't be.
Bad idea to have depth. So, all right, so we're talking. Wait, did you say Carson Wentz right now you have 21st, Dave? Jamie, you have him 20th. Heath has him 21st. And but he hasn't updated his.
I'm not ready, Adam. I'm not ready, and I don't know if Jamie's ready either. I think there are just so many quarterbacks out there that it's hard to move him into that 15 to 17 range, where he's a guy that you have to take as a late round pick or as a platoon quarterback.
I mean, you could certainly argue there's more upside with him than I just know the guys I have in front of him. You know, Tyrod Taylor, if Sammy Watkins isn't healthy, you know, that's one that you can look at. You could look at Blake Bortles and his struggles, you know, even though he's kind of fallen into good fantasy production. You know, is there more upside with Wentz? Is there more upside with Wentz over Carson Palmer, who is on his last legs and may have a, you know, depleted receiving core depending on John Brown's status and Larry Fitzgerald continuing to falter? You know, so there are guys that are in the conversation. It's just a matter of, you know, do you feel comfortable with Wentz? Does he take that next step that we're hoping he takes because of the additional weapons, or does he struggle? You know, and does he, you know, not necessarily ascend to the heights that we hope he can get? So, I think when you look at it, he is certainly one of the guys that if you take a solidified number one quarterback, or even maybe somebody that's somewhat questionable, you know, Dak Prescott, does he continue on from what we saw as a rookie? Is Derek Carr healthy? Is Mariota healthy? Is Winston the guy? Is he somebody that you kind of play off Roethlisberger with? You know, because when Roethlisberger's at home, obviously he's amazing. When he's on the road, not so much. So there's a lot of guys you can pair Wentz with and be comfortable with it.
Do you guys by any chance have your rankings from last year available or archived or anything?
We have our rankings that we did in right after the NFL draft because it's in our first magazine.
All right, I'd like to see who like the 20th quarterback is because I'm looking at quarterbacks 20 right now. You know,
you want me to go get one and I'll tell you?
Actually, yes.
You guys talk. I'll go get one.
Okay.
I'll go into my second guy who I think is a winner. By the time you get back, you'll be ready to go.
Yeah, but the reason I want to talk about this is because for two quarterback leagues, like I'm looking at who you guys have around 19, 20, all the way down to like 23, 24. Andy Dalton is 23rd for Dave, 22nd for Jamie. Tony Romo's in this mix. Ryan Tannehill.
Romo
Carson
should
Wentz.
Not be in that mix. He should be higher than that.
I think Jamie's waiting to see where Romo ends up.
Yeah, I'm already assuming that he's going to be on either Denver or Houston, and I've ranked him accordingly.
All right, so my point is I want to know like how it compares because I'm thinking right now, two-quarterback league, if you're in a 10-team two-quarterback league, 20 quarterbacks deep is not bad at all. And I would love to know if I would have felt that way, you know, this time a year ago. So we'll wait for Jamie to get back. Your other winner is Isaiah Crowell behind that offensive line.
Can you believe that a Brown is winning in fantasy football because of free agency? They're spending a ton of money to improve that offensive line. They signed Joel Bitonio to an extension. When he went down last year, that offensive line kind of went down with it. But Isaiah Crowell continued to put up good numbers. He averaged 4.8 yards per carry. Didn't have a lot of work, only 198 carries. He had 40 catches. Don't lose sight of that. Yeah. He can catch the football. The additions of J.C. Treader, Kevin Zeitler, good and very good for Cleveland. And you know they've got Joe Thomas at left tackle. They've got to do something at right tackle. And I almost think this is part of a bigger thing that we can talk about. I almost feel like what Dallas has done by building this big offensive line, getting a stud running back behind it, and then adding the quarterback, I think that's going to be copied. And I think we're starting to see more of a dedication to run games happening around the league because it's not just offensive linemen that are picking up huge dollars, and it's not just Kevin Zeitler who's the highest paid guard in NFL history or the biggest guaranteed money in NFL history. Larry Warford just got some from New Orleans, and there's offensive linemen on the move. Fullbacks are on the move. They're getting paid a lot of money. And I almost feel like we're going to head back the other way a little bit, where the run game is going to try and be a focal point for offenses rather than, you know, an air it out pass happy league like we kind of have been in for a while.
Yeah, I do wonder if we're going to see another draft, an NFL draft, where there's no running back taken in the first round, which we saw not too long ago. Jamie's back. Hello.
Hi.
All right, so who's like 18 through 24 in the quarterback rankings a year ago, after the draft a year ago?
It's funny. So for me, 18 through 24?
Yeah.
18 was Matt Ryan. 19 was Ryan Tannehill.
Uh-huh.
20 was Jay Cutler. 21 was Matthew Stafford. 22 was Kirk Cousins. 23 was Brock Osweiler. 24 was Joe Flacco.
All right, for Dave.
I did wish I kept the magazine rankings for my running backs intact because I had Le'Veon Bell 1.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, well, no, didn't last that because then he was suspended.
Oh, well, that's
for Dave,
good.
18 was Matt Ryan. 19 was Jay Cutler. You had Cutler at 19. 20
Where did
was,
I have Osweiler?
Huh?
Where did I have Osweiler?
Oh, it's coming. 20 was Matthew Stafford. 21 was Brock Osweiler.
Aye.
22 was Ryan Tannehill. 23 was Alex Smith. 24 was Joe Flacco. And 25 was Kirk Cousins.
What were we really concerned about with Matt Ryan? Like, I know this isn't what we're supposed to be talking about right now, but what – he was just so bad that first year with Kyle Shanahan that we really just – we wanted nothing to do with him, even though he had Julio Jones.
I don't think we gave Alex Mack signing enough.
Not at all. I think we completely overlooked Alex Mack. It's what we just got done talking about is how offensive lines are becoming a significant factor in free agency and how teams are trying to build around that. Like what Dallas did. Like Dallas is kind of the trendsetter by building this gigantic offensive line.
Yeah.
And now teams like obviously Cleveland, but I think Detroit is trying to do it with the signing of Rick Wagner.
Well, they've been trying to do it for years.
I think Chicago wanted to do it this free agent period. And they already had Josh Sitton and they wanted to get one of those tackles to come in. I don't think they are, but I think teams are really trying hard to get that offensive line in as good a shape. The Rams obviously are. By bringing in Whitworth to play left tackle.
Well, look, I can see where this show is going, and so far good discussions, but we're 10 minutes in, and we haven't really talked about Alshon Jeffrey. We talked about Carson Wentz. So let me take a quick detour from the winners and losers, and we'll come back to that. And let's talk about Alshon Jeffrey. Buy or sell, Alshon Jeffrey is a second-round pick in a 12-team league.
So?
I think you're around too soon.
All right. So he's a third-round pick. That's what we're saying.
I think he's a good number two receiver, knowing that there is risk with him. Last year, we're going to say a lot of the same things about him that we said last year. Number one receiver, pass-friendly offense, theoretically a good quarterback with Cutler and a team that would throw the ball a lot, and he was trying to prove himself. Well, he got hurt, and that offense was a mess, and Alshon was a mess. You've got to wonder about those injuries with him, and they're not as bad as they are for somebody like Keenan Allen, but they're still nagging hamstring, calf. I think hip is in there. I think knee is in there. Like, he's got a lot of stuff cooking, but he's still got a one-year deal. It's the richest prove-it deal I think a receiver's ever had, or maybe anybody's ever had.
It's the richest non-franchise deal for a receiver ever.
Yeah, so there's concern about him dropping off, but there's also a chance that he has a big year, and I already said it. 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, I think is the minimum that he can give you.
The minimum. Okay, so here's the deal with Alshon, right? We want to look historically at what he's been. 2013, Jeffrey was the number 8 wide receiver in fantasy. 2014, number 12 wide receiver in fantasy. 2015, he only played 9 games. If he had played 16 games based on his 9-game averages, Jeffrey would have been the number 9 wide receiver. So you're looking at 3 years in a row based on 16 games where he's between number 8 and number 12. Pretty good snapshot of what Alshon Jeffrey is, I think. Last year was a bad year for him. The touchdowns were down, and those not necessarily his fault, but he also played 12 games, missed 4 due to a suspension. Alshon Jeffrey had one 100-yard game last year. It was week 1. The year before that, he had 4 100-yard games. And a few of them were like 130-yard games, and that was in only 9 games. So it was a bad year. They had Cutler, they had Hoyer, they had Barkley. I think he's young enough, we can excuse it. And there's a chance that he's like a number 8 to number 12 receiver. Of course, things break right, it could be better. But this is really a lot for Carson Wentz. This is really fascinating. I mean, things have changed so much for them, and now it's a completely different looking team. I do wonder. Like, Jeffrey's a 15 yards per catch kind of guy. He's a deep ball guy. So is Torrey Smith, obviously. You know, those two are kind of a strange fit together, in my opinion.
Oh, I don't think so.
No?
No. Because Jeffrey can really do it all.
Well, Jeffrey's better, certainly. They had the chance to get him for 1 year, $14 million. I don't know how you pass that up. Like, are you guys surprised he had a 1 year deal?
Shocking. It's just shocking that he couldn't do better.
Do you think he was offered better, but at a lower rate, maybe?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, you know, when you're talking about the bar has basically been set at $8 million a year. You know, that's what the guys that have gotten so far this season. You know, that's what Stills got. That's what Britt got. He's better than those guys. So you're talking, what, maybe $10 or $12 million?
He said that he turned down a longer deal from the Vikings. So maybe the Vikings offered him like a 4-year, $40 million.
Sure.
With $20 million guaranteed, and he says no. I can get $14 million from Philly, and then I'm back at it next year.
Yep. It's just weird.
Okay.
He is really betting on himself, because if he gets hurt or has a bad year, he's going to have to take a very, very...
Well, if he has a bad year, he's getting $8 million a year. If he gets hurt, he's done.
Well, I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, you can't retire on $14 million these days, you know, so...
Well, you got to pay taxes on that.
Yeah, well, what, you pay your au pair what?
Like $13.5 million, so...
That's true.
So. Less than... Well, did you guys move Alshon Jeffrey up or down in your rankings? Because as of now, he's 18th for you guys.
Yeah, I kept him right around where he was. I might have moved him down a little.
I didn't move him at all. The guy that I'm toying with, and we'll just see what happens, is Demaryius. If the quarterback situation stays the same in Denver, which is looking like it's going to happen, yep. I'd rather have Jeffrey than Demaryius.
All righty. Back to the winners and losers then. Jamie, you're winners. The Houston Texans are winners. Yes.
Yeah, they got rid of Osweiler.
He is the winner.
So if they get Romo as expected, that's a big situation for them.
That's pretty huge, yeah. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Romo when it happens. Jameis Winston, and definitely we should go back and not treat yesterday as its own show. We should incorporate yesterday's news items. Jameis Winston is a winner for you.
He gets Deshaun Jackson, you know, and that's a big plus. So, you know, you're looking at like their week one skill players with Jameis, with Evans, with Brate, with Jackson. Jacquizz Rodgers is probably going to be their starting running back. It's a good little team that they're putting together.
How many yards this year for Evans? Yards and touchdowns?
1,410.
How many for Deshaun?
1,006.
I'd go a little lower on the yardage, but we'll split the difference. So that's 2,316 right there. Brate?
807.
So 3,123 touchdowns. And then he just makes up the rest. I think he could actually get more touchdowns from Brate and Evans. I think he's a cinch for what he's been giving you as far as 4,000 yards and 28-ish touchdowns. And I think he can make that jump up to like 4,300 yards and 32 touchdowns.
Yep, he's my number nine quarterback right now.
Yep, he's a top 12 guy for sure.
Buy or sell, Cameron Brate loses value with Deshaun Jackson on the team.
Sell. I think Brate's one of the better breakout tight ends this year.
His bread's going to be, assuming they don't add another guy, you're right. But in the red zone, he's going to have some awesome matchups. Awesome.
Buy or sell.
They have awesome matchups.
Yeah. Third and five.
And this is a quarterback that likes his tight end.
And he loves his tight end. Yep.
All right, buy or sell. Back to the Eagles. Jordan Matthews' value increased with Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith aboard.
Sell.
That's an easy sell.
I'm going to make a case because, you know, like you could look at his end of season numbers and see where he finishes, and it's not that bad for Jordan Matthews. He's usually like around 24th or 20th the last couple of years, but he's not a consistent fantasy receiver. If he's actually the number two guy again, that's when he was at his best, when Deshaun Jackson was the number one and he was the number two. I don't really take Torrey Smith that seriously. I do wonder if we get more consistent production and maybe the end of season numbers look similar, but we get a guy that's sort of like Pierre Garçon last year with Washington, that Jordan Matthews becomes like a reliable PPR guy or something like that again.
He certainly could, but you're dealing with, is he he could be the two or he could be the four. Because if Torrey Smith is, let's just say, you know, five to six, let's say Torrey Smith is Kenny Stills, which is not out of the realm of possibility because we've seen him kind of playing that role before of 600 to 800 yards receiving and 7+ touchdowns. I mean, that's kind of where Torrey Smith is.
I feel like that's a ceiling.
Huh?
I feel like that's a ceiling.
Oh, I don't disagree with that, but that's kind of the guy he is. You know, that's what Kenny Stills is. I mean, you know, Kenny Stills was 4,720 and 9 touchdowns. So it's not like you're stretching it with Torrey Smith at this point. The PPR guy there is Zach Ertz. I mean, Zach Ertz and Darren Sproles, those are going to be a lot of the outlet dump off passes too. So, you know, Jordan Matthews has to really step up his game.
True or false, Jordan Matthews gets 6 targets a game next year on average.
See, I know you keep saying that they're going to throw the ball all over the place. This is a good defense. They're going to be better. They're going to be more efficient offensively because Wentz is going to be better. I don't think they're going to all of a sudden turn into the Saints or the Packers. So I don't see them as this because remember where Doug Peterson comes from. He comes from the Andy Reid tree. And so it's not necessarily –
Andy Reid loves running the ball?
No, but he doesn't want to throw the ball 50 times a game.
I don't think any coach wants to.
Right.
But I think they're open to it if that's what it takes. And some coaches are more open to that than others.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to see Wentz consistently over 40 passes a game.
Okay. Do you think the point of six targets is if he gets six targets a game, that means he's on pace for 100 over the course, provided that Jordan Matthews stays healthy.
If everybody stays healthy, I'll take the under.
Which means he's going to get less than 60 catches, which means he's going to get less than 700 yards.
That's pretty bad for Jordan Matthews. Like, less than 60 catches and less than what?
Look what they just brought in.
I know, but the passing production should go up. Okay, last year, 73 catches.
You know, they've had 3 years of this guy.
Well, he had 997 yards and 8 touchdowns in 2015.
Was he the main receiver in that offense?
He was.
Or did they sign two other guys off the street to come in and play on the outside?
I know, but I think Jordan Matthews is better than Torrey Smith. Like, Torrey Smith doesn't really register to me. He's a big play guy. It's going to happen, whatever. It doesn't mean Jordan Matthews, if he's their slot guy, that's his role. I think he's, you said PPR is Ertz and Sproles. I could see it being, Jordan Matthews, 85 catches in his second year.
He has to come up big in the red zone.
Well, yeah.
If he doesn't give you the 8 touchdowns that he gave you in 14 and 15, then it's not even going to matter. But even if he gives you 8 touchdowns, there might not be a lot of yardage behind it.
No,
but not great.
I don't know that he's a 12-team league kind of guy, but just okay. By the way,
he could definitely surprise you, but like I said, he could be the second guy in this offense, or he could be the fourth or fifth.
Could, yeah. Now, when I say buy or sell, don't act like I'm always buying it. Okay, I could sell it. I could sell it all day long. But you know, it's not like it's not like I'm disagreeing or anything like that. But this one I might disagree a little bit. All right, losers. Let's go to Jamie's losers. Houston was a winner. The Redskins are losers right now.
They look like the worst franchise in football right now. They're not, but they look like it.
The Browns still exist, though. Like, are you willing
the
to?
The Browns are making moves to improve themselves. The Redskins are making moves to look terrible. Their front office situation is a joke right now. They completely botched this Kirk Cousins thing over 2 years, and so he's going to walk out the door the minute he gets the opportunity to, if he's not traded by the end of the offseason, because now they can trade him since he signed his deal. They let their two top playmakers at the receiver position walk out the door. They brought nothing into compliment their quarterback if they're trying to potentially keep him on the roster. I just don't see this team going anything forward. To me, it's totally backwards.
And everybody sees it. Like, even the Redskins faithful see what's going on, and they're not thinking about, wow, we made the playoffs 2 years ago. We almost made it last year. Now we can really put the team together and make a Super Bowl run. Everybody knows they're not going to make a Super Bowl run at this point.
Well,
Kirk Cousins plays like Tom Brady and Jordan Reed stays healthy for 16 games, offense is going to be in big trouble.
It's a shame, because when you take a step back from it and you look at what they had a year ago or a week ago, Jackson, Garcon, Reed, Crowder, Doxon.
Dangerous. Dangerous. So dangerous.
Oh, it was amazing. And now it's like the cupboard's bare there. And they're going to lose Cousins for nothing, potentially. And they could have signed him to a Tannehill deal, to a Kaepernick deal, you know, where it's still a prove it situation, but didn't have the wherewithal to say, okay, he was good enough to get us to this point. We may not buy into him as a 10-year guy, but now you've invested $40+ million in him when you could have done it, you know, $17 million a year as opposed to $20+ million a year.
Do they trade him now?
They should, if the 49ers are still willing to take it.
What I think, if you're the 49ers, you scale back your offer at this point, or at least you start scaling back.
Unless your goal is to waste a year.
Right. And I think that could be what they're thinking, is why should we pay up with the number two overall pick now when a year from now it's pretty clear he's not going to be there and we could just take him and just sign him.
Or you keep two and you offer, you know, a couple twos, a couple threes, whatever, over the course of a 2 year period.
Yeah. And I don't think Washington would take that. I wonder if one of the reasons
Washington should take that,
a bunch of twos and a bunch of threes for a franchise quarterback.
Nothing. He's not coming back. He's made that clear. He said, as long as Bruce Allen's there, I am not coming back to Washington.
He's doing everything he can to try and get traded.
Of course.
That's for sure.
That's why he signed the deal now.
If they were a contending team, if they had pieces in place where they really could make a legitimate run at the NFC East,
then you keep him.
Then it's a no-brainer that he stays, and you just tell him, listen, shut up. You're getting paid $24 million, and you might make even more. But at this point, I don't blame Kirk Cousins.
You take a step back from it. You look at it. The Cowboys are definitely better than the Redskins. I don't think anybody could argue that. The Giants have made at least one move to improve their offense when their defense is arguably the best in the division. So I would say they're better than the Redskins at this point. And the Eagles, who had a very good defense last year and just improved their offense.
Just got done talking about it.
Better than them as well. So they're at best the last team in their division.
Well, the thing about the NFC East is it's been like a decade since a team has won the division two straight years. It's an extremely unpredictable division. And, you know, as far as the Giants goes, we keep talking about Brandon Marshall. It's obviously really good. I've been wondering this. I don't mean to keep bringing it up, but I wish that they had spent on offensive line. I don't know that there was one in their price range that would have helped them. And it's not a great
done yet.
They don't have much space left, and it's not a great year for the draft for offensive linemen. So
no, it's a couple of guys at the top and then a lot of project type.
Yeah, like, we want to be happy about Brandon Marshall, and maybe he makes Eli Manning at least draftable after a terrible year last year. But I don't know. I just don't know how much it matters with their offensive line. I know we're kind of pivoting, but.
We just got done trashing Kirk Cousins. Question number one, would you draft him?
Right now?
Right now.
As a number two guy.
So, like, a late round pick, he'd be in that mix. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, before or after Wentz.
Right, like I was about to go with Wentz. Like, couldn't you see that there's maybe a little, like, we've seen great numbers from Cousins, but isn't there something a little more exciting about what Wentz has right now?
Yeah.
Like, I'm, it wouldn't surprise me if they're not too far off by the end of the year. You want to give Cousins the benefit of the doubt, and he still has Reed, Vernon Davis, Jamison Crowder. We'll see what, Doctson is a major wild card. Maybe they had Terrell Pryor in for a visit, but they didn't sign him. Pryor would have made things interesting.
Absolutely.
That would have probably bounced back some of Cousins' value.
Absolutely.
Well, it's not over yet.
It's not.
Free agency. And Jimmy Garoppolo is also a loser. Looks like he's going to stay put, Jamie, in New England, be a backup.
Yep.
Okay. Going to Dave's losers, Kirk Cousins and Latavius Murray. Yeah, it's been quiet for Latavius Murray and Eddie Lacy.
Is it too soon to call him a loser, though?
It is too soon to call him a loser, but it's more of a point that for as much as I say that running games are going to be a little more important and certainly stressed by teams and fullbacks are being added and offensive linemen are being added, I wonder if teams are looking at the running backs coming out in this draft class and they're going to say, you know what? I don't need to spend $4 million a year on Latavius Murray or Eddie Lacy.
But no one has
signed. I don't need to sign Adrian Peterson.
No one has signed.
No one's signed, but there's no priority. There's no lining up to get him. He was the most complete and healthy enough running back.
Every team is having guys on their visits. He's already gone, I believe, or at least talked to him.
Right, but it's interesting to me that he wasn't a priority for anybody.
I don't call him a loser yet at all.
Well, look, we're doing the show today, so maybe Dave felt a little pressure. You don't agree, Jamie? We were talking about it when you were off the air, so I know you didn't hear. You were getting the magazine. You don't agree with maybe a more run-first approach going through the NFL?
No, because it really hasn't been a getting away from it. Teams have still run the ball for the most part to the same level that they have the last few years. It just seems as if they're not running it. The successful teams run the ball the same amount.
They're scoring way more on the ground than they did last year, than they did the year before.
Yeah, but they're running still the same amount.
Just about.
I do feel like there was a time not too long, like when Le'Veon Bell, that draft class of not, you know, good looking prospects. Monte Ball was in that draft class, right? And those guys all went in the second round or later, not one first round draft pick, and it just seemed like running backs were so devalued. I feel like we're coming around a little bit. Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott.
Well, that's two different conversations. Devaluing running backs and teams running the ball more are two different things.
Are they?
Yes.
Okay. So, all right. Cool. Well,
because you're seeing teams use multiple guys.
Well, that's true.
That's not devaluing running games. That's devaluing the running back.
I feel maybe there's no statistical. I obviously haven't looked at it. We just started this conversation. I don't know if there's statistical backing for it. Anecdotally, and I feel like teams are valuing running more than they were like 4 or 5 years ago. You don't feel that way?
No.
All right, Dave.
You already know how I feel about this.
Yeah. Interesting. Let us know what you think, listeners. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. All right, let's do a few more buy or sells. Buy or sell. As of now, Cameron Meredith is worth a late-round pick for the Bears.
Bye.
Sure.
What about Kevin White?
Hopefully he's healthy. I mean, I think like what Dave said about Josh Doctson, he's a wild card. He just, if he can get on the field and we can see him play 16 games, we saw some flashes last year when he got his targets and when he was healthy.
Here's a fun Cameron Meredith stat. He had 6 games with 8 or more targets last year. He scored double-digit fantasy points in standard scoring leagues in 5 of those 6 games.
Like, he was really good.
Dominant.
They found a couple of nice diamonds in the rough with him and with Jordan Howard. They're
Zach Miller too.
Who?
Zach Miller too.
Sure. But it wasn't last year that they found it with him. But they've done a nice job cultivating talent.
It's been the John Fox regime that they found those 3 guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good for them. Okay. Here's an email of the day from Cleveland Browns #1 fan. That was the email address. Buy or sell, the guys running the Cleveland Browns are smarter than a 5th grader.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.
Did you like the whole Osweiler thing?
Yes.
I think it's interesting. And I get why they did it. I totally get why they did it.
Yeah, look, they had so much money to spend.
They had a ton of cap space to spend. They found... I really want to know how this came about. Like, who called who? Was it the Texans that called them and said, look, you've got a ton of salary cap space. We need to get this guy out of town.
Of course. That's what you do. You go, all right, we have got to get Brock Osweiler off our team. Who has the Browns phone number? That's what you do.
I don't think it's
so
the Browns.
So you think it started
number.
With them saying, are you guys interested in Brock Osweiler,
not,
the
not
talent?
The Browns, it's not the Browns phone number. It's you know how in fantasy we have the on the block? The Texans send a note to every team in the NFL and say, we will give you a second-round pick and Brock Osweiler. Oh, by the way, you have to take Brock Osweiler's contract. Oh, by the way, you're going to look like a joke at first when people see that you traded for Brock Osweiler. But then they'll realize that you're just taking the crap off of our hands. The way I was telling people in the office yesterday, if you walked outside to take your garbage out, and Adam, you do this, what? This is the only time you leave the house once a week?
Twice a week, but recycling, too, if that counts, so 3 times a week.
Okay, so you take your garbage out, and someone drives by and says, hey, I'll give you $1 for your garbage. That's exactly what this trade was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, $1? That's it? Okay. I'd like to get a little bit more than that if I'm going to actually take the time to walk outside. But I think they also put, like, in their on-the-block thing, they were like, note, we recommend saving Brock Osweiler for the 3rd paragraph of your press release. So that, I think they took their advice on that.
What if
now they're trying to trade him?
I know.
And they're going to eat some money to do that. So if somebody will take him as a backup, it's just amazing how what happened in a year. This guy had the world by the you-know-what a year ago.
What?
And now he's a punchline.
Yeah, it's sad.
Watch him be the answer for the Browns at quarterback.
That'd be great. It would be the greatest trade in football
history.
It
would just be like backwards bizarro world for the Browns to have a franchise quarterback that – all they had to do this whole time was give up a bad draft pick for the quarterback and a better draft pick. It's just it is crazy how it happened. I love that the Browns did it. The worst case scenario is that they carry this guy's salary for a year, and then next year they cut him. It's no penalty to them, and they've got all that cap space to spend on top of whatever else they have. They were going to have a hard time spending $102 million, I think they had to spend. They were going to have a hard time spending that much anyway.
Yeah, I really want to be optimistic for them. I mean, they've got the 1st and the 12th pick, and they've got still a lot of cap space. They bolstered their offensive line. That helps. And if they can bring Terrell Pryor back, it would be really nice for them.
Yes, it would.
I feel stupid for saying this, because last year we were looking at the Browns offense, and I think some people thought, you know, they'd be better than they were. But I really feel optimistic for the Browns. I feel like they could actually turn the corner if they make smart draft picks. That's always the key.
They're light years away from the Redskins right now in terms of which is a worse franchise.
But one of them does have a quarterback, which leads me to this question. What if the Browns trade for Kirk Cousins?
Oh, I think you could see the Browns in the market for Cousins, and I wouldn't rule out the Texans in the market for Cousins. If they can't work out something with Romo and Denver, let's just say, offer something, or Romo's cut loose and he goes to Denver because he wants to be there more so than Houston, I could absolutely see them.
Or if Denver just outbids Houston. Because it could get into a bidding war.
That's what I said. If they offer something.
Well, no, I thought you said if they cut him and Romo.
No, if they offer something better, or he gets cut loose, he can decide to go to Denver, and then Houston's left with nothing. So they may decide we got to go get somebody, and Cousins is the answer.
All right, some more news from around the NFL. We got Marcus Wheaton going to the Bears. We got the Packers, maybe.
Well, there goes Cameron Meredith.
No way. the Packers may not be able to re-sign Jared Cook, who definitely showed some promise, and Aaron Rodgers really liked Jared Cook and what he brought to the offense. Yeah, your takeaways on that, guys?
They can replace. They can go into the draft and get a tight end in round one if they wanted to.
Yeah, but look, you're not shying away from Aaron Rodgers, but this was a nice weapon for him last year, and he, you know, he was great in the playoffs. He was great when Jordy Nelson got hurt at the end of the season, in the beginning of the playoffs, you know, and took over a lot of Randall Cobb's production. So he was, you know, if you played in any postseason fantasy leagues, you were certainly looking at Jared Cook, and he played well.
Sure did. Miami signed Anthony Fasano, and he's a good blocking tight end, so always nice. Sometimes a little underrated when we talk about running games, blocking tight ends help.
They brought him back, and he replaced Deion Sims, who went to Chicago.
There you go.
It's the blocking tight end domino game.
But now they're going to have that situation that the Jaguars were talking about, where the Jaguars were annoyed because every time they had Julius Thomas on the field, you know, teams knew it was a passing play. Now the Dolphins got their blocking tight end, and they're going to put their receiving tight end on the field. They have to get a little creative, where Thomas is just going to have to block better.
Well, I mean, if there's anybody that knows how to use Julius Thomas, it's Adam Gase.
Offensive line, we know about Cleveland with Kevin Zeitler and J.C. Tretter and giving Joel Bitonio an extension. Carolina signed Matt Khalil. He will play alongside his brother on their offensive line. Not clear how good Matt Khalil is at this point. Seattle signed Luke Jokel to a one-year, $8 million deal. He's been a disappointment. The Saints signed Larry Warford. Dave was talking about that from the Lions. Excuse me. The Chargers signed Russell Okung. This is the biggest one. Russell Okung, 4 years, $53 million, $25 million guaranteed. So I guess other than the Browns stuff, this is probably the biggest one, right? Okung to the Chargers.
It's up there. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And what we saw from the Broncos on Thursday as well, with Ronald Leary, that's a big one too. Yeah, it's tough to predict. That might be one of the most difficult things to predict in fantasy football, is what impact the offensive line will have on a team. Now, you can make the argument that two early injuries on the Houston offensive line derailed their season. Same thing with the Vikings, more than two injuries, I think. Sometimes you just never know. Like, remember the year when the Chiefs...
Yeah, but you know, the funny thing is, though, but you just brought up the two examples you brought up had bad quarterback play.
Yeah, but you know, remember, like, the Vikings had to change their offense to get the ball out of Sam Bradford's hands quicker because the line was so bad.
Right, but we don't really necessarily talk about, like, the Patriots had some offensive line injuries last year.
Yeah.
We don't really talk about that because Brady covers it up. You know, when the Packers lose offensive linemen, we talk about the running game. It doesn't necessarily hurt the passing game. You know, I mean, quarterback play covers up so much.
It does, yeah. And the other thing I was going to say is, remember the year the Chiefs lost, like, three linemen in free agency? And I was a little worried about Jamal Charles, and there was nothing to worry about. If I remember correctly, I think that was 2 or 3 years ago.
Right, but conversely, Eli Manning is a good example of it. His offensive line was terrible last year, and he struggled.
Yeah, so you just never know what kind of impact it will have.
Right, and like, you know, I'm just thinking through my head now, like the Dolphins, when that line was good is when you started to see Tannehill pick up his play before he got hurt.
Yeah. Well, I think that's basically it. We had some defensive stuff. The Dolphins, I like them acquiring William Hayes from the Rams for a
great trade.
Six-round pick.
Great trade.
Yeah. Jacksonville, look, they're doing it again. They do this all the time, bringing in some big names. Calais Campbell, Barry Church, and A.J. Boye.
But they're doing it around young guys, which is, their defense is going to be nasty.
Yep, really good.
And they already have a good defense, too, which is nice.
They already had a really nice defense.
I wish Calais Campbell were a little younger for them, but he's a great player.
There seems to be more signs pointing toward the Jaguars spending that number four pick on Leonard Fournette.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Which would be, I mean, they still, their offensive line is still not great. You look at it and you wonder where's the great blockers on that line. And so far, I don't know. I don't think there's a lot.
No. And that would suck.
They're kind of still doing the opposite of what the Browns and these other teams are trying to do.
That would suck for Leonard Fournette if that's where he went. Washington signed defensive tackle Terrell McClain and safety DJ Swearinger, and the Ravens re-signed their defensive tackle Brandon Williams, 5 years, $54 million, $27.5 million guaranteed. So that's good for the Ravens, and for fantasy owners, that means it's going to be a little tough to run on the Ravens. Be nice to see that Browns offensive line against the Ravens D-line twice a year, huh?
They also have one of the best secondary duos by adding Tony Jefferson.
Yeah, Weddle and Jefferson.
Okay.
That safety is a good combo for Baltimore. Yeah, that defense will be fun.
Yeah. Hopefully force some turnovers. Be good for fantasy.
They probably should draft a corner.
They'll either win or lose against the Steelers 13-10 in Baltimore, and they'll lose to the Steelers 31-20 in Pittsburgh.
My favorite NFL rivalry. Love it. Every time. All right. Let's read some emails. Rob from Paris of Appalachia. All right. Dear Stefan, Captain Jonathan, and Melvin. Gilmore, Munerlin.
But it's not just cornerbacks. It's, do they have something in common?
Are they Gamecock cornerbacks?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's Gilmore, Munerlin. Who else?
Jonathan and Melvin.
Jonathan Zu Cyprian?
Yeah, but he went to Florida International.
I don't know, and I don't care. If Martavis Bryant is reinstated and remains hiccup-free, where are you willing to draft Martavis Bryant?
Round 7.
Right around there.
Round 7. All right, we're going to look up those cornerbacks, by the way. This is from John Chan in Toronto. Quick question based on Adam mentioning Nutella and Dave calling it overrated. Rank the following...
Overrated?
Yeah, I don't think it's as good as... People make it out to be like a gift from God in a jar.
No, but it's good.
I think it's good. I don't think it's the best stuff ever.
Okay, the question is rank, or the request. Rank the following spreads for toast. 1, okay. Butter. 2, jam/marmalade, and specify the flavor. 3, peanut butter, specify crunchy or smooth. 4, Nutella. 5, other. Go ahead and rank that group of spreads. Butter, jam, peanut butter, Nutella.
Look, not to sound like a hypocrite, I think Nutella's great. I just don't think it's the greatest thing ever. If I'm ranking them against peanut butter, jam/marmalade, and butter, it's going to be at the top of the list.
It is? On toast?
Yeah.
What is this, dessert? Nutella is the last, like, it's independently, it's great, but on
toast?
He
didn't say for breakfast.
He said for
toast.
He
said just spreading it on toast.
Who has that?
Like, people who want to eat Nutella. People who love Nutella.
Yeah, but toast.
I'm thinking of it just from the taste standpoint.
All right,
I'm not thinking of it as I'm 7 a.m. and I'm getting breakfast ready.
But that's when you eat toast.
Well, maybe that's when you eat toast.
Actually, I had toast for dessert last night because I was
that's
so hungry.
That's what,
But
right.
I put butter on it, not Nutella. All right, I'm going to go strawberry jam.
And toast for dessert?
Look, oh, I don't have much in the house, okay? I was hungry. I had some toast.
So that's not dessert.
I bet you wish you had some Nutella.
I did have Nutella. I skipped
and
it.
And you didn't go for Nutella on toast for dessert?
I'm pretty anti-sugar. I try to be
maybe
healthy.
Put a little bit of a Cool Whip on top and make it, you know, homemade sundae.
Well, here's
party time at the Azer house.
Here's my answer. It's strawberry jam, specifically for toast. Strawberry jam followed by butter, followed by Nutella, followed by peanut butter. Smooth.
Also, is the butter melted or is it like straight from the fridge? Fridge, you get a knife, you spread it on, and it's not melting.
It melts on the toast. The toast is
not
warm.
Not unless you put some heat on the toast.
Yeah, of
the
course.
The toast is already out of the toaster.
No, the second you take it out of the toaster, you put the butter on it.
Fine, right. If you do it then, it'll melt.
Yeah, that's what I did.
But
last
if the
night.
Toast is sitting out for 10 minutes.
Does anybody else want to rank this? And by the way, I think Stefan, Captain, Jonathan, and Melvin are all Bears free agent acquisitions.
Except they're not.
They're not?
Well, that's Gilmore.
Oh, that's true.
It's
oh no,
I'm going
it's
Nutella
not.
1. I'm going to go butter 2. I'm going to go peanut butter 3, and I'm going to go apricot jam 4.
It's Nutella, peanut butter, jam, butter.
You don't like butter on toast?
Just I do, but butter toast? I like all four of those things.
Jam 3rd, jam 4th? Like, are you crazy? jam on toast is the best. By the way, no, everybody gets disgusted by this. I'm sure I've said it before. Scrambled eggs, strawberry jelly. So good.
I eat eggs every day. I've never had it.
It's so good.
I'll try it and give you a report.
This is from, but by the way, yeah, it's not Bears. I got tricked by Google. Those guys are not on the Bears. This is from Chris from a town near Jamie's favorite place, the Magic Kingdom. Orlando? I don't know.
Sure.
Dear Big Kane 2, angry pizza guy who hates his neighbors in basketball, and Jamie, grade the trade. 10-team PPR Dynasty League. Give up Julio Jones and Carson Palmer. Woo! Give up Julio and Palmer. Get a haul of Mariota, Davante Adams, Mark Ingram, Cameron Brate, Tim Hightower, and is there someone else? I think that's it. Mariota, Davante Adams, Mark Ingram, Tim Hightower, and Cameron Brate.
A plus.
Really?
I agree.
Really?
It's great.
But you're giving up by far the best player.
But you're getting the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth best players.
I mean, essentially, you're giving up Julio Jones to those guys because Carson Palmer is replaceable, and you're getting an upgrade with Mariota.
Theoretically, you're set at quarterback for a long time. You should be good at running back with Ingram there for at least a couple more years. Davante Adams, at least a couple more years. I think let's put it this way. If you've got a crappy team, but you've got Julio Jones and you don't see yourself competing, I think this is a move you make to get in the competition right now.
All righty. And PS on this from Chris. Is Jamie going to Facebook Live his speech at the rehearsal dinner? And is Adam's fiance going to be Big Kane 3?
I would say the latter is 100% true.
I feel like my kid would be Big Kane 3.
No, that's Big Kane Jr.
So I'm working on an arrangement with our sales team to have your wedding sold.
Did you call Stranger Things?
We get a sponsor for my toast.
Okay. I'm pretty sure we could find one.
I'm not lying about that. I'm actually working with our sales team on that.
On what?
That was going to be my wedding gift to you.
Certain Netflix program, perhaps?
How would you sell my wedding?
Yeah.
How? Like, I don't get how.
It's going to be sponsored.
We're going to do live programming from it. It's in the summer, so we get to actually say, you know, we're talking fantasy football content.
If you do live programming for my wedding, like, my wedding is going to get canceled, then you can sponsor my divorce.
Why is your wedding going to get canceled?
I don't think Allie is going to go for that.
We're outside the venue, and we're like, you know, we have like a little red carpet set up.
No.
With our tuxedos.
Me, Dave, and Nando.
Well, you know, I just recently learned that Dave is not coming to my wedding.
What?
So.
All right, so me and Nando.
Yeah.
I didn't think that would ever make the podcast, but okay.
It's not his fault. It's not his fault.
My fault.
So me and Nando will be live from the red carpet outside of Adam's wedding.
I will watch the hell out of this, by the way. And whichever sponsor gets behind it, I will buy their product.
And so. Cheapings, you won't have cheapings. It won't involve you at all.
Like if it's I'll buy Blue Apron for all my neighbors.
We'll probably have to have some 5-minute window carved out where you actually come and sit down and talk to us like about how you're feeling and all that stuff. Uh-huh. We'll leave Allie alone.
If you really are doing this, I just recommend that you stop. I don't like it, and please stop. So that's it for today.
Hey, wait a minute. If it's work, then I have to go. Okay. Sorry, honey, I can't. Do what you need me to do. I've got to go to work in New York.
Just call me, honey.
The arrangement that we're talking about is, you know, do a podcast. Mm. We'll Facebook Live it before the actual ceremony.
So we're not actually going to show the ceremony.
No. We can't give Adam his privacy.
Well, but why would the sponsor want to sponsor the pregame and not the actual game?
Well, because it's kind of like the commentary based around sports talk. So
like they're going to want their logo on the glass that they break. You know, Jewish weddings. That's when the ceremony
Listen,
ends.
We're not getting a
Stranger Things mug.
A huge check from our sponsorship.
Adam, can you break a glass with your foot? Are you strong enough?
You know, I got to be honest with you. I'm a little nervous about that. But they told me that they use light bulbs.
They shatter it for you.
Well, they use light bulbs, and nobody knows the difference.
I'll pre-crack it.
Yeah, I am nervous. I almost wanted to not do it, but then I was assured I'd be able to. All right, this is getting crazy.
The sponsorship will be outside the wedding, and then a little bit afterwards. and you'll just have minimal obligations.
No,
are you okay with the Stranger Things wedding cake?
Yes, I am.
So you'll eat, like, it'll be the little kids from Stranger Things in cake form. So, like, they'll cut off the head of little Tommy from Stranger Things.
Tommy,
and that'll
yeah.
be your cake.
That's it for the show. For David, Jamie, I'm Adam. Talk to you next week. Enjoy the weekend, everybody.
L'chaim.
Bye.